First Corinthians, chapter 13. First Corinthians, chapter 13. You may stay there, you may come up and join us, whatever you wish to do. Any prayer requests? Anything we didn't go over last night or anything? Okay. I'd have Sue with us tonight. Introduce yourself. To Sue. Is it Bailey? No. Glad to have you here tonight. His sister lives in Hot Springs, Arkansas, has been in our ministry for some time. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for battle. Prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. Understanding some things that are powerful throughout all of Scripture and in the spiritual warfare that is going on. And understanding who and what God is. Going to be dealing a little bit with the understanding of who God is. If someone asked me a good question coming off of Sunday where we noted you don't want to limit God. One of the great problems with most people's rejection of the gospel and a lot of problems even with Christians is that if there is a God, then why are all of these horrible things happening? Conclusion is, I know God, and if there were a God, this is the way God would act. I know that. So since God isn't acting the way I think and I perceive that God should act, then there is no God. And so by their definition, by their limiting God, and when you define God, you confine God. You confine him to your definition. And he is going to do whatever he can do to show you you don't. You don't know him. Anytime you think you've reached that point, he's going to do something to show you you don't know me. And in a finite way, he's infinity, but in a finite way, all of us men can understand that. You tell a woman you know her, and I'll guarantee you within 48 hours, she's going to do something on purpose just to let you know you don't know her. Don't ever do that. That can be very dangerous, to tell a woman you understand and know her very clearly. They don't like that. And so, therefore, I'm being funny, I hope. I'm not really serious here in that realm, even though it is a serious point. But when we do that to God, you can just know you're going to be tested on what you think you know. So a lot of people have their problem with God. And it isn't a problem with God, it's a problem with their perception and their knowing God. And this is from the very, very beginning, the first book of the Bible, Job. The whole book of Job is about, I know God. And God is not acting the way God ought to act. Therefore, conclusion, God's wrong and I'm right. And unbelievers make the conclusion, there is no God. Believers make the conclusion, God doesn't care, God is this, God is that. And become very angry at God. Now, am I saying that we cannot know God? No. Not by a long shot. God is one of the most wonderful things about our God, the true God, the only God, as opposed to idolatrous gods through all history. Our God has made himself known to us. And he has made himself known to us through his Son. So we can know God. I want to say a little bit more on that come Sunday where the question was asked, but we move now into some understanding about God and understanding some things in reference to the whole realm of history and our place in it, and that deals with our subject matter of spiritual love or the new commandment, which is to love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine, if you love as I love you. Not love one another as you love yourself. That's the law. That's the law. An unbeliever can do that. The law is for both believer and unbeliever in Israel. So an unbeliever can do that. But no unbeliever can love under the new commandment. It's only of the believer under certain conditions. So let's get cracking. Let's prepare ourselves. Love is another one. In fact, it's right under the understanding of God himself. Understanding how does God act, and that's understanding love. So let's prepare ourselves for battle. Let's prepare ourselves for this study and understanding love. Let's pray. Throughout Scripture, Father, we can accumulate various words that give us concepts of who and what you are. We can deal, Heavenly Father, in various passages, even though the word is not used, with your omnipresence, everywhere present. You're all powerful. And we extract many of these things from a multitude of scriptures. You yourself have declared God is love. We understand your holiness. We understand your sovereignty. We extract it from many different concepts, persons. But you declare that you are love. It is so important, Father, that we understand your love. We understand your holiness and its relationship to your love. We understand these things, Father, to the illuminating ministry of the Spirit and how they work in our lives. So we pray now that the Holy Spirit will cause us to see these things, understand them. Father, we pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Permit me, every now and then, I'm going to do this. And that is, I want to run through, without too much discussion, in the last verse, of the previous chapter 13, note what it says, and I show you still a more excellent way. And he's now going to go into a discussion of spiritual love. What is the more excellent way? The more excellent way is spiritual love. Why is it the more excellent way? And I just want to go through our 10 things that we have noted now. Spiritual love. And remember, we're not talking about human love. Spiritual love is the more excellent way because spiritual love deals with reality. It is the only love that deals with reality. It deals with the reality of who you are in Christ. It doesn't deal with reality, as far as you are concerned, with the old man, with the flesh. It deals with who and what you are in Christ. Secondly, it deals with the reality of your old sin nature and the sin nature of others. And it is spiritual love that gives you the ability to deal with each other. We'll see this in 1 Corinthians 13. Secondly, is the concept or the principle of control. The principle of control. We cannot control others. One of the most disheartening things to realize is I can't control. We cannot control. There are certain people who are in a position where they are deceived because they think they can control. They can control their environment in the sense of their wife, their children, because they are very domineering, very overbearing in that type of thing, and therefore they live in a deceitful world. They deceive themselves. Most of us understand the reality, I cannot control others. I cannot control my husband. I cannot control my wife. I cannot control my children. Sometimes we can't even control ourselves. So I can't control. And it becomes a vivid reality, and this causes a disturbance. I can't control. I ought to be able to control at least my environment. I ought to be able to control my home, and I can't do it. Because people are going to do what they want to do. I can't control the government. I can't control God. I can't control. So spiritual love gives you, though you can't control others, spiritual love gives you control over yourself in this realm of in the world where you can't control anything. You know, it just gets so aggravating when we can't control things. And these things that can continue to happen, but spiritual love puts us into control. Point three, spiritual love focuses on the person of Jesus Christ. This is his love. It's not my love. It's not your love. It is the love of Christ, spiritual love. And Christ said it himself, let all know that you belong to him. Nothing else like spiritual love is going to let others know you belong to him. You can say it. We have the passage. We looked at it. And in that day, many will cry out, Lord, Lord. And I will say, I never knew you. So it is spiritual love that's going to let people know that you belong to Jesus Christ. And then to just tap a lot of things, it fulfills all the things that we're studying and have noted in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, and we studied a multitude of things in there. It reveals you know him. It reveals you keep his commandments, abiding in Christ. There is no fear in your life. All of these things happen by spiritual love. That's why it's the more excellent way. Spiritual love is the more excellent way, and this is the one we'll see in just a few moments, because it gives utility. It gives utility, and by utility I mean in the spiritual realm, it gives utility to everything that you do, and it makes you useful in the plan of God. Without spiritual love, people, you are useless. With spiritual love, you become useful in the spiritual warfare. I don't care how much power you have. I don't care who you are, a pastor, evangelist, businessman, whatever you are. Without spiritual love, you have no utility. It is spiritual love that gives utility to everything that you do. It is spiritual love that gives usefulness, makes you useful in the spiritual warfare. Point six, this is the more excellent way because it makes you strong. Spiritual love, unlike human love, gives strength. We're going to see that in the 16 impacts of spiritual love. Love bears all things. Show me in Scripture. Show me in your own life that which bears all things. It isn't trust. Trust doesn't bear all things. And I'm talking about between two people. Trust with God does, not trust between two individuals. Spiritual love makes you very strong. It bears all things. It is long-suffering. It never fails. All the things that we're going to study about spiritual love, it is that which makes you strong. Spiritual love guides. What do I do in this circumstance? And in this circumstance, what do I do? How do I know what God wants me to do in this circumstance or that? Boy, if I just had a birth. Well, the reason you don't know what God wants you to do is because you don't have enough doctrine. No. No. The reason sometimes we don't know what God wants us to do is because we're guided by spiritual love. I don't really know what to do. But if we're guided by spiritual love, people, it will guide us in making those decisions. It will guide us. And then the eighth one is spiritual love is the more excellent way because you use it every moment. You use it every moment of your life. Spiritual gifts you won't use every moment of your life. Certain principles of doctrine you won't use every moment. But spiritual love, every moment you awake, spiritual love flows from you. Point nine, spiritual love is the more excellent way because it is to everyone. Believer, unbeliever, husband, wife, friends, parents, children, work, social life, casual, whatever you may do, wherever you may go. See? You want to be careful in just the casual areas of your life in regard to spiritual love. I think sometime I'm going to have Gene stand up and just tell us stories of how people are on the other side of the counter buying tickets and changing tickets and doing all the stuff at the Continental Airlines where she works. The other thing about that, this is where spiritual love functions everywhere. It functions here in this assembly. It functions any and every point where you are in life. Spiritual love is to everyone. And by the way, every person is in need of spiritual love. Spiritual love is a more excellent way because spiritual love always demands that you that you are walking by faith. You are occupied with, in this sense, with the Holy Spirit. You're trusting the Holy Spirit. He will pour this love into you. Now, with that in mind, let's get kicking, working on the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, describes a life. This is your life and my life. A life without love. Verses 1 through 3 is a life without love. And people, I just want you to understand, I don't care what you accomplish, what you don't accomplish. What you have, what you don't have. who a person is, who they aren't. Whether you have a great influence on a lot of people, no influence on anyone, I don't care. If your life is without spiritual love, you're nothing. And I'll show you that in the scripture. On the other hand, you may believe, you may think, I'm insignificant in the whole flow of history. I'm insignificant on the sands of time. Does it really matter about what I do? You may think you're very important. But with spiritual love, whoever and whatever you are, wherever you are in life, spiritual love turns you into something dynamic in the spiritual warfare. And we'll see that as we get through with these first three verses. All right, let's look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, a life without love. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, insurmountable objects, objects that are in your way, but do not have love, I am nothing. So I say nothing in verse 1, I am nothing in verse 2. See, that's a powerful phrase. I am nothing. That's a frightful phrase. That's a frightful phrase. For you, those of you that are really young here tonight, you know, your life is fine. You get to a point later on in life, you get into your 60s, and you look back and you say, my life's nothing. I am nothing. Those are frightful words. We get it going in youth, boom, 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 and we think we're something regardless. And you look back and you say, I am nothing. That's a very frightening phrase. My life is nothing. My life doesn't mean anything. My life is wasted. But there's only one way your life is going to be wasted. Only one. Has nothing to do with the standards that we set up in America. America has crushed a lot of Christians because we measure our worthiness by the standards of America, and what a tragedy. We're so quick to point things out in America that relate to America. I have one child, and they've done this, and they do that, and I have this, and we try to hunt. And those who haven't accomplished the American dream become angry sometime and withdraw and don't even want to talk about anything. Well, yeah, I know my life's a waste and I know I haven't accumulated wealth and I haven't accumulated this and I don't have that. So, you know, boy, I'm just nothing. And so they're prone to withdraw. Both are wrong. Don't let America intrude upon your relationship with Christ. I am nothing. So I don't care what you've accomplished in the American scene, or here even in under what we'll call spiritual standards. Without spiritual love, people, it's nothing. And this is going to be a heartbreaker. This is going to be a heartbreaker at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're all going to stand at the beam of sea, people. And some think it's not too far away. But every one of us will stand before our Savior for an evaluation of our life. And it's going to be a lot of people. Going to go and stop. Because they just knew their life was something. They just knew it. And it was nothing. They were nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about people who did a lot of work. I'm talking about people who gave a lot of money. I'm talking about people who did a lot of service. I'm talking about a lot of people. I'm talking about even people who did a lot of nice things. But no life. I am nothing. Frightful words. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I'll just tell you right now, the idea being so that I become one of the poor. That's how much I give. I give so much that I'm now on welfare myself. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, that's some great act. And if I deliver my body to be burned as a sacrifice for somebody else, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So you say nothing, you are nothing, and you do nothing without spiritual love. Okay, verse 1. I want to see if I can cover this here. If I speak with the language of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Proposition, I have the great gift of communication. I have the greatest gift of men or angels. Reality, I have not love. Therefore, I say nothing. That gift that God has given me profits me nothing. Now, we're dealing here with spiritual gifts, but it goes to the gift of communication. It goes to the gift that we'll talk about in a moment in tongues and stuff. I want you to know that every one of you here tonight, if you've accepted Christ as Savior, you have a spiritual gift. It is designed for the assembly. I can show you verses. It is not designed for you in a closet. There are other things designed for you in a closet, like prayer, but not the spiritual gift. It is designed for the assembly. So we all have at least one spiritual gift. Some are more than one, but at least one spiritual gift. But if it does not have love, if you do not have love, then you say absolutely nothing. The spiritual gift has no utility. Going back to our 10, the spiritual gift has no utility in the plan of God and the body of Christ, and you're not useful without spiritual. Oh, but I'm using my spiritual gift. No, you're not. I'm sorry. One of our problems is Adam's Wealth of Nations, which gives value if you contribute to society. If you contribute to society, you have value. If you're a shoemaker, if you are a tailor, if you are a carpenter, we all, in that sense, try to find what can I contribute to society. And then we carry that over into the spiritual realm. If I do this, then I have value in the body of Christ. I am sorry. That is not true. What you're doing in the material world does not transfer into the spiritual. Just because you do something in the material world and you get material gain for it, don't think that that's the automatic parallel in the spiritual, because it just isn't so. What you're contributing has absolutely no utility, and it does not make you useful. These are not words, people. I'm talking about your life. I don't have any subject more important than this, what we're studying right now. Last night's very important in what we're dealing with in regard to sin and spiritual love. But what we're talking about is my life being useful and counting for something. I want you to understand that it is spiritual love here that Paul is talking about that's going to add it. Spiritual love, that's why I call spiritual love the great alchemizer. An alchemizer, alchemy is where you take a common element, and these are common elements in these first three verses in this Christian realm, the spiritual gift and the knowledge and the giving and all these things, these are common. But what is going to transform them into something like gold, transform them into gold? Alchemy would take a rock and want to try different ways of changing the rock into gold. So I want to change this into gold. And the alchemists of today are religious people. Your denominations are predominantly alchemists. We're trying to come up with the proper blend of all of this to make it something wonderful before God. You need more of this. You need less of this. You need a whole lot of that. And they're trying to come up with the philosopher's stone. That is that process that will alchemize these into gold, and it won't work. It's simple. Spiritual love is the alchemy that will transfer these things. And remember that spiritual love is a force. As a force, it will have far greater magnitude than all the speaking in tongues and all the spiritual gifts combined. That's the force of spiritual love. The force is not in the speaking in tongues. The force is not in the spiritual gifts. The force is in the force of spiritual love, the magnitude of spiritual love. Spiritual love has superior effects in history, people. It has superior effects in the body of Christ, in the local assembly, in your own individual life. You just try to do and do and do and do without spiritual love, you're not contributing anything. It is spiritual love that has this effect as far as your life is concerned. So it is far superior. Now let's get to the work and see what he says. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, we have the present active indicative of the verb la la. Oh, I'll put it on the board. If I speak. We have the verb la leo. L-A-L-E long O. La leo. And la leo, it does a lot of things. But predominantly what it does, it introduces communication. Communication gift, yes, but communication is the fundamental idea here. The communication of, it deals in context. If we took out the chapter 13 break, it's been discussing tongues. So therefore, a lot of people zero this in predominantly in speaking in tongues. So it deals with speaking in tongues because they were making a big deal about it. It deals with any communication gift, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever it may be, teacher. It deals with these things. But now this is very important. If we want to be honest to the text, this is not limited to spiritual gifts, because while that is somewhat his discussion, he's going to a new thing, more excellent way, for everyone. And so to try to say he's just talking about tongues, I think he's going to be hard-pressed in context. Because the context has changed from talking about tongues. Also, I think he's going to be hard-pressed. He's got to limit this to communication gifts, like pastor-teacher. What Paul is here dealing with is an unlimited concept of all spiritual gifts and any communication. Any communication that you do in your life, people, now listen. I'm talking about communication between a husband and wife. There are two ways that we can speak to our spouse. We can speak to our spouse without spiritual love. We can speak to our spouse with spiritual love. That's why I told you in those 10 things. This is something that happens every moment of your life. You mean I have to think of, yeah, you have to walk by faith all the time. And even the communication that we do between a husband and wife, that's communication. And even though you could speak with the voice of and the language of men and angels, you have the highest one of men and angels, the language of men and angels. Doesn't matter. You can speak very wonderful things. You can speak whatever you want. This is not limited to that. Family, social, work, every part of our life. To be able to speak, I'm not going to get a drift on this, but it is an interesting concept. What separates, among many things, one of the things that separates us from the animal, the ability to speak. Someone once said, the dog would not be man's best friend if it could talk. But since it can't talk, it's man's best friend. It waggles its tail instead of its tongue. See? And therefore is man's best friend. So speaking is very powerful. It's a very wonderful, precious thing that we all have, precious gift that we all have. But I want you to understand what Paul is saying here. All communication must be done in spiritual life to have any value. I don't tell people, well, listen, your communication may be intelligent. Your communication may be accurate. Let's even stay in the spiritual realm. May be accurate. What you're saying may be accurate. For people, it's dull without spiritual love. It becomes perverted, and I'll show you how at the end of this verse. Well, it just draws attention to you. It's what a clinging symbol is. Clinging symbol is that which draws attention to me. So it draws attention, makes a big deal out of you. So it doesn't matter. If it is not in spiritual love, it has no value to you. But let's stay with our context here in the spiritual realm. Paul goes to the wonderful spiritual gift of tongues, communication, and deals with that because that's what people wanted to make a big deal out of. And so he's saying, even if you have that, but you don't have love, you have nothing. Now the next phrase. But I have not love. I want to try to go through this quickly. But I have not, by the way, what I mean by quickly, you want to spend about 3 or 4 hours on why he talks about men and angels. Because I can do it. It's related to spiritual warfare. The language of angels. I have the tongues, the language of angels. even in the spiritual realm. We're learning something about the spiritual warfare, people. Learning something about what's going on up there between God and Satan. Satan is without spiritual love. This isn't just a poetic, nice little thing, you know, man and angel. No, he means that. If I have the language of angels, so that I should converse in that realm and have that love, it profits me nothing. A lot of this book that we call the Word of God is not the Word of God, it's the Word of Satan. And it's minus spiritual love. And some of it's even accurate. Some of the things that Job's friend said to Job is accurate, but it's all wrong. And they are going to be wiped out, except for Job, who comes and intervenes for them. So I want to move on from that, but I just don't want you to let that go without realizing there's a lot in that phrase. Now he says, but I have not love. Now, this is the greatest void of life. A lot of people talk about love, think about love, think they have love. There's philosophers who philosophy about love, come up with brilliant rationalism for avoiding love. This is a tragic thing to do in your life, is a life without love. I want to take a look, but I have not love. I want to put it on the board so that we can and take a look at a person's life. But this is they, which is a mild conjunctive contrast. But I have not love. Okay, let's examine this phrase. First of all, I have. I have. This is the present active indicative of the verb echo plus the negative, which means to have not to possess. I don't possess it. Now let's take a look at the word love. He uses the word agape. Same word that Jesus Christ uses in the new commandment, that you love one another. Agape. What's he talking about? People? Paul? But I have not love. Now, please stay with me. This is not a minor point. He is not talking about human love. He is not talking about not having human love. There are a multitude of reasons why people, most people, do not have human love. There are a lot of reasons why people don't. They've been hurt by it. They're afraid of it. They build walls. They don't have time for it. They don't want it to intrude on their life. There have been, you know it, hundreds, thousands probably, of psychological and studies, therapy studies, millions of books on the subject of love. And a great number of them by Christians. And they have no idea even about human love, much less spiritual love. But I want to give you three reasons, three major problems with human love. But that's not what he's talking about, but I want to deal with that. Sometimes people get the two confused. Don't ever confuse human love with spiritual love, because they're different. Human love is that love that flows from any human being, because they're human. Spiritual love is that love that flows from a new creature in Christ, a spiritual creature empowered by the Spirit. That's why it's spiritual love. But there are three major problems with human love we should be aware of. One, what is it? What is it? What is human love? If we want to have a lot of fun, just start here with Val and just go up and down. And what I would really want to do is put you each in a silent room, because I wouldn't want you to hear what the other said until after you said it. And then, you know, if she'd be the first one, and then put her over here, if you could hear the next one. But all of the rest of you couldn't hear the next one. And it's all, and we're not talking spiritual. Let's define human love. What is human love? It's hard for people to come to an agreement on what human love is and what human love is like. It's poets. Poets have their idea, and generally, most of the time, wrong. Hollywood has another. And don't laugh, because I'm going to tell you why. A multitude of Christians in the end of the 20th century in America if not the world, but especially America, had their ideal of human love, and it's taken from Hollywood. This is the way love ought to be. The passion, the excitement, and all the things that Hollywood has made it. And a lot of people, if they think about their attitude and thinking about human love, though they wouldn't say it, it's formed by Hollywood. Movies. Everywhere from Casablanca to some of the most horrible movies. A lot of people develop their idea, their concept of love. I'm talking about Christians too, of human love, and it's from Hollywood. Psychology has another one. And psychology's view of human love is always changing because psychology is always changing. It always changes with personality. They deal a whole lot with, love deals with a personality, it deals with what type of person you are, and they have all those five different ways and types of people we are, and all of this kind of stuff. So one of the problems with human love is, what is it? Writers have another one. I'll tell you something. Too often, a husband and a wife, the husband has one ideal of what human love is, and the wife has another. And they're not the same. And they crash. I think it's amazing. Well, did y'all talk about having children? Yeah, we talk about children. He doesn't want any, but he'll have them. You know, he doesn't want any, but he'll have them, or whatever it may be. And yeah, we're gonna reel them this way and that. Good. You talk about finance? Yeah, a little bit. You talk about family? Yeah, I told her family was no good, and she told me my family was no good, so we talked about family. Got that out of the way. Did you discuss your ideal of what love is? What you expect out of this thing called love? No. We were making out, so we didn't get to it. See? It's amazing. It's probably good, because a fight would probably start once you started doing that in regard to what it is. So one of the big problems of trying to understand human love is that you've got a billion different ideas of what it means. And another problem, especially with Christians in discussing human love, is that too often, now listen, too often what they want to do is they want to take extract from the Bible and make that human love. And you can't do that, people. Don't take what we're getting ready to look at as spiritual love and say, that is what human love is. Because it isn't. That's why I refuse to use this in a wedding up until now. Because people, if they think, oh, if they want this red, love is long-suffering, love is kind, and that's the way I want you to love me. Impossible to make this human love. It's impossible to make this human love. Point two, the second major problem with human love, and why some do not have it, I have not love, why do not humans have love? Another great problem with human love is that it is based on experience most often. Most people decide about spiritual or about human love experientially. We learn about human love experientially. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Let's take the negative thing. Here's a parent, and the parent has a child. And we are the child. You're the child. Okay. Now, the child grows up and becomes a parent. And as they grow and as they enter into it and as they start having their children, well, I tell you one thing, I'm not going to love my children the way my parent loved me. And turn right around and end up doing it. Turn right around and end up treating your children exactly the way you would treat them. Why? I don't know any different. I don't know any other way. I wish my parent, and I mean, I'm just saying this for people's sake, I wish my parent would have been more loving. I just wish once in a while my dad would have come up and put his arm around me and said, you know, something kind, something encouraging, something like this, or I wish my mom had done that and all that, and boy, if I had a kid, I'd do it. And then they had a kid. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Well, I wish my dad would have taken me and just told me, you know, some funny things and maybe a dirty joke every now and then. I wish my dad had just interacted a little bit. Boy, when I have a kid, I'm going to do it. And then what happens? Well, maybe a father and son shouldn't do that. so I'm not going to do it. And so we understand love experientially, not only in regard to parent and child, but so often between husband and wife. So often it has been found too many times that the way, well, I will never treat my wife the way my dad treated my mom. I'll never treat my husband the way mom treated dad. And sure enough, Bible gets to 10, end up doing exactly the same thing. And mad at ourselves. Oh, I see my mom in this. Oh, I see my dad. Why did I do this? I don't know anything else. I don't know any other way to love than this. I have not loved. It's a horrible statement to say. I have not loved. And just even said in the human realm, I have not loved. Why don't people have it? One, it's hard to define. Number two, because I base it on experience. Base it on all the relationships that I've had. And my first one, first marriage, first love, everything was rotten. And boy, you never can trust a woman. You never can trust a man. Men are no good. Women are no good. And on and on and on. And boy, when I marry again, it's going to be entirely different. And no, it isn't. It's basing it on experience. The third great problem with human love, the biggest problem of all with human love, arrogance. Self-centeredness. Most people are too self-centered to really love, even in the human realm. Even in the human realm. Most people's ideal of love is this. I love you. You serve me. I love you. You do for me. That's most people when they get right down to it. But I love you. That gives me a right to control you. No, sorry. But that's one of the great problems why a lot of humans don't have even human love. But all that's free because that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is talking about here spiritual love. But if I do not have love, spiritual love, and there are a lot of reasons, people, why a person may not have human love, and I'll acknowledge that. There are a lot of reasons. Why we went through three major things that a lot of things could be put under. Why a person does not have, I have not love. That doesn't mean that I don't have anybody to love. That means I don't have love in me. I have not love. And there are a lot of reasons why people do not have love in them. But when it comes to spiritual love, there's only one reason. Every Christian can have spiritual love. Let's take a look. Why would a believer not have love? Paul's given us an unbelievable position or condition of a Christian. I have not love. And that's a sad thing to say. But it's one of the most truthful things because I've heard it a lot in the last probably about 3 or 4 years of my life, more than I ever have. Until you started teaching spirituality by faith and spiritual love, I didn't have love in men. I didn't have love for Christ. I wanted it. But I knew I didn't have it. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to acknowledge. No, I don't have love. I want it. God, do I want it. I'm not even sure what it is, but I know I want it. So why would a believer not have spiritual love? Why would a believer not have the same love wherewith Christ has loved them in them? All right, let's look. One. Point one, why would a believer not have spiritual love? How can you reach that point, but I have not love? Point one, realize this. Spiritual love, our subject, does not come from man. And when I say man, then I'm talking about a Christian. I'm talking about the new man. Even the new spiritual creature cannot produce this love in himself. So be sure we get this in the mind. Spiritual love does not come from, and I'm going to put here the new man, so I don't misguide you. I want you to know I'm talking about the Christian here. The born-again believer cannot, in his own energy and his own will, produce spiritual love. That's one of the first things we have to realize. The first thing you want to say is, if talking about having, and I'll put it up like this, in regard to having spiritual love inside of me, I can't. Oh, what beautiful words. What horrible words in John Wayne Christianity. Because John Wayne can do everything. But what wonderful words in the real Christian life. I can't. I can't produce. I read 1 Corinthians 13, close the Bible and forget it, because I cannot. I will not. I know it. In fact, I don't even want that love sometimes. There are people who I do not want to be long-suffering for. I want them to suffer long. But I'm not going to be long-suffering toward them. So I'm just honest. There's no way I can do that. I mean, take another person. Well, I really want. But I can't. I can't do this. I can't write down. I'm going to take a different aspect, a different impact of love, write it on my wrist. And each step, I'm going to take one a day and make that one my big thing for the day. Well, fine, you're working on long-suffering, which you can't do anyway, but just to make my point, you're working on long-suffering, and what needs to be is kind. And so you missed it today. And then tomorrow you've got on I am kind, and what's going to be needed is not arrogance. And you're never going to have on your wrist what you're going to need. See? So forget it. First thing we're going to say is, I have not love in me. I want this love. So spiritual love does not come from the new man. By come from the new man, by that I mean he doesn't make it himself, not by his power. I don't mean that it doesn't come through the new man. What I'm saying is he can't produce this himself by any work that he might do. Secondly, spiritual love comes, this is meaning its source. That's a good way. By come, I mean source. Spiritual love comes from, where does spiritual love come from? Holy Spirit. Spiritual love comes from the Holy Spirit. This is where spiritual love comes from. Spiritual love comes from the Holy Spirit. The second advocate is the source of spiritual love. Human love is based on human. Human love is based on human integrity. Human love is based on human strength. Human love is based on human learning. But spiritual love does not depend on human integrity. Does not depend on integrity. Does not depend on something I do. Spiritual love comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Open the text, please, to Romans 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. I want this love. I do not have this love. I want this love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in up within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Spiritual love comes from the Holy Spirit. Add to that, I won't make the turn because I want to finish this part up. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So, and then all of the other divine nine. Okay, we've come to two things. Having spiritual love. I have not love. Let's talk about why a Christian would not have love. Spiritual love does not come, does not originate from the new man. Even though I'm a Christian, I can't produce this love myself. I can't. This is the way you start. This brings me into the equation. All right, if I can, obvious question, then where from? Spiritual love is from the Holy Spirit, the second advocate. Jesus Christ is the first advocate. The Holy Spirit is the second advocate. So it comes from the second advocate. Okay, the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the third obvious question? How can I have the Holy Spirit, and we'll stay with the word we just saw, pour this love into me since I can't produce it? He produces it. How do I get it? See? I can't do this. They can do it. How can I get what they do? I can't make shoes. He makes shoes, cobbler. What can I do to get some shoes from him? Well, got your options in the barter business, in the economic realm. One, you can trade him what you do. Or two, if you have currency, you give him currency. And you get what he has. So, you do. You do something, and then you get it. Now, there's nothing that we can do for God. So now, I figured it out. It's from the Holy Spirit. But, oh, that's real good. How am I going to get it? Because I can't do anything for God. So however I'm going to get it, have this love in me, God is going to have to do it, and God's going to have to do it alone. I have nothing to barter for. I don't have anything I can do. I don't have any assets, like in the barter system, money. I don't have anything. So God's going to have to work out a way to pour this love into me alone. Secondly, if I'm going to get anything from God, it's always going to have to be on the basis of one thing. You know what that one thing is? What's that one word? Grace. It's going to have to be on the basis of grace. He's just going to have to give it to me. Because I can't. I can't earn this love. I can't do anything for this love. It's God's love. Not mine. It's God's. And if God's going to give me anything, it's going to have to be on the basis of grace. People, that's at the heart of the whole spiritual warfare, is grace. It isn't a matter of the age of the law versus the age of the grace. You can just assess that. Grace has always been God's policy. It always will be God's policy. It's the only way it can be between God and creature. So however I'm going to get it, God's going to have to give it to me himself, and it's going to have to be on the basis of grace, because I don't earn or deserve it. Nothing I can do. Nothing I can do whatsoever for getting this. And the only act that I can do that meets these two, where I can tap in to this power of the Holy Spirit, is faith. I'm going to have to offer the only thing I have of value. And the only thing I have of value, my faith, just trust in me. People, this has been the battle. The prehistoric time, what we're studying in Abraham, the testing of faith. It's over and over and over all through Scripture. You want this spiritual love. You want a life with love. It's the easiest thing. There is not a reason at all for a Christian not having spiritual love. It is a matter of our faith. Our faith in the one whom God has sent, the Holy Spirit. Our faith, my faith, directed in the one whom God has sent. Tap into his power. Tap into what he does. And he pours his spiritual love into the believer. The way we access his power. He takes that love, pours it into that love, the love of Christ. He pours it into us and through us. Now this means that any believer can have spiritual love. You can have it right now. Any believer can have love. When Paul says, I have not love, why doesn't a Christian have love? It's very, very simple. Because any Christian can have spiritual love. And if you're in a condition that Paul has described here, I have not love, it is because you refuse to trust God. It's that simple. You refuse to trust God. I don't have love for my ex-husband. I don't have this love for my ex-wife. I don't have this love for my parents. They abused me. I don't even want it. I don't have love for my parent. I don't have love for my child. I don't have love for this person. I want it, maybe. Why don't I have it? Because it's not trusting God. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Don't lie. Quit denying. You stop trusting God in that area. You're holding in your soul your own anger. You're holding in your soul whatever it is that you have in that area. You've got to let it go. You got to trust Him. You've got to trust God. People, love of others is not based on trust of others. Love of others is based on trusting God. That's what it's based on. Did you hear what I said? A love toward a husband, a love toward a wife. Strains are still there. a love toward a parent that is abused, a love toward another person, another Christian, another unbeliever, a love toward anybody and everybody is not based on a trust toward them. It is based on a trust toward God. I have not love. Thus, I have not faith. But I want you to understand it's real hard because of what happened. I know it's hard. That's why I've said so many times, faith is the battle. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to love someone who hurt you. That's the hardest. Faith is the battle. That's why it's the battle. But I want to tell you something. It's the victory. It's the victory. Because when you do, you'll have that love. It'll even shock you. I'm amazed. And I've heard this from Christians. I really doubted what you're teaching on spiritual love. And I combined it with faith, and I'm just amazed at what's happened in my soul towards certain people. It's our hope. It's our confidence. If I will trust the Spirit, I expect spiritual love to flow. Paul says that. If I walk in the Spirit, I expect a righteous life. Paul says that. The things that I expect if I walk by faith in the Spirit, and He will give them. I can't. Why am I going for those horrible negatives? Isn't that obvious? Because it's easy to love someone that everything's hunky-dory. Everything's wonderful. When people are earning my love, that's easy. When people are doing what I think they ought to be, that's easy. Spiritual love is for that. But I'm going for the jugular. If I can communicate it to you when it's difficult, when it's easy, it's easy. So the reason a Christian doesn't have spiritual love is because they made a decision, I stopped trusting God. I stopped trusting the Spirit. No. No, please don't deny. That's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. It's about denial. It's not about recovery. It's about denial. Don't deny. Get ready for reality. And once you're able to do that, come out of that denial, and then go into faith, then we can expect these things to take place in our life. We can expect to love this way. So, if a person does not have love, it's because they have refused to trust the Holy Spirit. For what a lot of reasons. One, you want to work for it. You want it to come through your integrity, what I do, my strength. You want it to come through your power. You do not want to simply trust Him. Or, like I used the example before, you don't want to. Now, that's one thing. But a lot of people don't have love because they want it to come through their integrity. They want to come through what they do, and they're not going to have it. It doesn't come through your integrity and your strength. So whether or not we have spiritual love, whether or not you have spiritual love flowing in you and through you and out from you, is totally dependent upon your faith in the third member of the Godhead. It is an issue like this. Whether or not you have love flowing from you toward others. So here you are. And whether or not you have love, spiritual love, flowing through you to others, is dependent upon your relationship with the Holy Spirit who is in you, and it is dependent upon His relationship with Jesus Christ who is in you. And when you trust the Holy Spirit, He pours the love of Christ in you and out from you. And that's why when we study these 16 impacts of spiritual love, we're going to see how the first one deals with the inside, the second out. First, the next one inside, the next out. In other words, spiritual love is long-suffering. That's inside. Spiritual love is kind. That's outside. Spiritual love does not get jealous. That's inside. Does not boast. That's outside. Spiritual love is not arrogant. That's inside. Spiritual love does not act unbecomingly. That's outside. So it has an impact first inside of my soul, and then it has an impact on that which flows from me into the world, to others. In the home. And I keep emphasizing that because that's one of the most difficult places to live the Christian life so many times. Because familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds a lot of things. And it's very difficult sometimes to live in spiritual love with someone we know so well. It's not that when it's needed most. So in some ways, it's the most easiest thing in the world to be rude to Jean, who is behind the continental line, because I'll never see her again. She doesn't know who I am, so I'm going to be rude to get what I want. In another way, though, it's the easiest thing to be kind to her. I don't know her, and just it was, but boy, my husband, my wife, it got me into all of this trouble that I have to go and fight with her to get. It's all different, people. Sometimes the most difficult place and the most demanding place of spiritual love is with those that we love and expect the most out of, in the home and in the church. And this is what God does. So it is not, I'm going to draw a line like this. This isn't the issue of whether or not you have spiritual love. The issue of whether or not you have spiritual love is you and the Holy Spirit. That's the issue. But if you get your mind focused out here, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. Talked to a gentleman just this week, and he kept wanting to make an issue out of me, himself, me, big I. And I kept trying to, no. That's not the point. Point is, not you and them. Not you and his personality. You don't know, and you got to understand, and da-da-da-da. And I keep trying to push it. No, I don't. I'm going to assume this person is the rat you make them out to be. I'm going to assume your ex-husband, your ex-wife, whatever it is we're talking about, is everything that you said. I'm going to assume that. Still not the issue. Still in the issue, yes. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yes, but it is progressive in one sense. And in the way that we'll do this, the best way that I can do this is under a little analogy first, and then we'll close, people. I know what time it is. But let me answer you. It's a base example, but since Paul can use these times, so can I, and Christ himself. You can go down and buy a cheap bottle of wine. You can buy a $1.99 jug that has a screw top. Make them great. $1.99 screw top. Or you can go as high as you want. You can pay $100 for one bottle that has a cork top. Now they're both mixed. What's the difference? The richness of the grape. The soil. The sun. The weather. A multitude of things makes a difference. So my analogy is this, that the more that a person will walk in the Spirit, there are many things that the Spirit does. And one of the things that the Spirit does is that it leads you to understand, brings you to this text, and you learn more and more how Jesus Christ loved me. I learn more and more. And the more I learn, it enriches. It enriches the spiritual love that flows. So there's a. When I get through with our whole study of spirituality, and we don't finish all this up, where we're headed with this whole realm of spirituality is we're going to go for the believer to sin, to faith, to the spirit-filled life. Then there are two things we're going to look at. One is I'm going to put over here instant. There are things that happen instantly when I'm filled with the Spirit. There are things that happen gradually when I'm filled with the Spirit. And we have to understand this. Being transformed into the image of Christ is a gradual process through my Christian life. It's a gradual thing. Now, there are things that happen instantly. Instantly, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Instantly, He starts pouring in the fruit of the Spirit. Instantly, a lot of things happen. But there are a lot of things that happen that are very gradual. Christians need to understand this. There are the gradual things and the instant things. And the gradual things, like I said, are really come up in this whole idea of being transformed, putting on the armor of God, being transformed into the image of Christ. A lot of things. I have a long list of the gradual things, a long list of the instant things. Can't bring them to mind right now. Then what we're going to do is we're going to see where all of this comes down to, and this is all going to come down to the fullness of God in you. It's our goal. The fullness of God in you. And that's when it's gradual. Start taking on, and you're transformed into the image of our Savior. And that can happen in your lifetime. Doesn't take that long. But so there's an instant, and there's a gradual. And spiritual love, yes, you're going to produce spiritual love, but the quality, the richness, and these types of things of it are going to be an increasing thing. Okay, in summary, why doesn't a person have spiritual love in them? Because they refuse to trust the Spirit. If you are walking in this love, the Holy Spirit is going to pour this love into you. But I want to close with this one warning. If you are walking in the Holy Spirit by faith, and He's pouring in spiritual love in you, get ready. It may not be a good place to end tonight. It's where I'm going to have to end. The Holy Spirit is also going to lead you into the testing of that spiritual love. There is no such thing as love without testing. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into the testing of that love. Secondly, Satan is going to try and tempt you to leave it. He hates spiritual love. He defeated him on the cross. Satan hates it when you love as Christ loved, because it is that love that defeated him on the cross. So every Christian, every one of you can have spiritual love, and all the things we're going to study about it. If you don't, it's because you refuse to trust Him. You decide to go on your own power. But if you walk by faith, He will pour in this love, and He will lead you into the testing of this love. Stage by stage, and that's where we're going to see this. And Satan is also going to attack, because he doesn't want you to love as Christ loved. People, please appreciate, Satan doesn't mind if you learn doctrine. Satan doesn't mind if you serve. Satan doesn't mind if you do and do and do and do for God. But if you dare to love as Christ loved, He hates it, because it killed Him at the cross. He was defeated by the love of Christ. He can't stand it. Closing the word of prayer and Father, wow. You are love. And now we have access to that very same love. You imputed us with righteousness when we believed. You did not impute us with love. This is our decision. Faith decision. We get to decide, do we want spiritual love in us and flowing through us? And if we do, You've made it so easy. Just trust in the one You sent. We're amazed at You, God. We don't understand You sometimes. We just stand amazed that You would pour Your love into us, and that we can love others that same love, or with Christ of us. We praise You in Your Son's precious name. Amen.